My guest at this time is Professor Jan C. Ting. He served as Assistant Director of the Immigration and Naturalization Service during the administration of George H.W. Bush. He is now a professor at the Temple University School of Law. He has joined us a number of times to talk about Trump immigration policy, both as a candidate and now as a president, and specifically the executive order that is commonly referred to as a travel ban. After being struck down at the district and appellate court levels on numerous occasions, the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday allowed some of it to go into effect and will allow arguments on other components when it reconvenes later this year. And Professor, thanks very much for being with us.
Great to be with you again.
Well, let's start with, first of all, what we saw from the court on Monday. We saw the Supreme Court essentially go in exactly the opposite direction from what all these other courts did almost unanimously, the district and the appellate courts, striking it down, both the initial travel ban and then the revised travel ban. It looks like the Supreme Court had very little division in allowing some of this to go forward and allowing the rest of it to get heard later this year.
Yes, the unanimity of the high court was surprising. Even the liberal wing of the court concurred in the judgment that the positions of the lower courts in striking down the ban were overly broad. And, in Justice Thomas's dissent, he noted that it seemed like the travel ban was very likely to be affirmed by the high court on the merits when the high court gets to that point. And I think that's reflected in the unanimous decision of the high court to kind of push back on the lower court injunctions.
So, Professor, in our previous conversations, you have said the law is pretty clear on this. It gives the president a great deal of latitude in where to go on immigration policy. So is there simply a disagreement somewhere over the law that these other judges saw differently, or is this just politics and legislating from the bench?
Well, there are some interesting legal questions. The law is very clear that the president has authority to exclude anyone, any alien from the United States for any reason and for whatever period of time the president chooses. That is unmistakably clear. The critics have raised a couple of constitutional questions, one of which is, well, wait a minute, is there like a religious issue here? Don't we have the First Amendment? And I think it's pretty clear that there's not a religious issue there. I mean, anyone who reads the First Amendment can see that we're not establishing a religion in a travel ban. So I don't think the other issue is whether non-citizens outside the United States can even invoke constitutional protection. Are they covered by the Constitution? I don't think so. That's never been the case. So I think the lower courts were truly reaching in trying to find some way to defy a clear statute of the United States that says, whenever the president finds the entry of any aliens or any class of aliens would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may by proclamation and for such period as he shall deem necessary suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens and or impose any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. That's the statute of the United States as enacted by Congress. And so I think the critics have a very heavy burden to overcome. And the Supreme Court, you know, follows its own precedents and has made clear the role of the courts is and ought to be very limited. These are political questions, whether people should be excluded from the United States. And the political branches of government, the Congress and the president together, should be making these decisions. And the court has said repeatedly the role of the judiciary should be very limited because the judiciary is not in a good position to make political judgments. That's not the role of the judiciary. And so, following their own precedents, I've been predicting for a long time that the travel ban would ultimately be upheld. And this most recent decision on taking the case, I think, supports that conclusion. The ban is going to be overturned on the merits, barring some unforeseen circumstance.
one of the things that was distinguished in this decision is who the ban applies to now and who it doesn't. And basically, if you have credible ties to the United States, if you've been accepted to a university, you've got a job, you've got a close family, yes, you can still come. The other side, of course, if you're a refugee with no ties to the United States, or even if you're not a refugee, but if you're from one of those countries, then the administration has every right to ban you. Do you like that distinction? Does it make sense to you, or no?
Well, I'm with the three dissenters who say, look, this is going to give rise to a lot of unnecessary litigation before we get to the merits. And it's really not necessary since it's going to be overturned anyway. Why don't we just restore it in the interim? But I think we see the hand of Chief Justice Roberts here that, you know, he's trying to preserve the dignity of the court, and he would like to have unanimous opinions. He likes unanimous opinions. It shows that the court is united and not divided. And I think, you know, he negotiated this compromise just to get everyone on board so the Supreme Court could speak with one voice, you know, heightening the respect of the public for the high court and its decisions. And I think that's what's really going on here. He's trying to find a compromise that would bring the liberals on board and provide for a unanimous opinion.
One of the things we've also heard in the wake of the decision is that since some of this has been allowed to go into effect, by the time we get to the fall term, the 90 days will have expired, so it's largely a moot point. So how critical are the arguments still to come, whether it relates to this ban or future executive action?
Well, I think we need to focus on the main issue, which is what is the extent of presidential power? And the statute that I just read says, hey, the president can exclude people for any reason for any period of time. So the fact that the proposal is for a specific period of time to exclude is not the main issue, because the president, if he's upheld on this, can reissue a proclamation and exclude anyone for a longer period of time or for a different period of time. The critical issue is, does the president have the power? And the other thing people need to remember who are critical of the current administration is, if you render a decision because you don't like this administration, you don't like this president, and therefore you're going to tie up the president's power to protect national security in litigation, you're going to let the courts litigate the question of presidential power, you know, you're going to have a different president later on that you like better, and that president's going to be hamstrung in exactly the same way. I always say that, you know, if you're riding on a train, someone should have the power to pull the emergency brake, right? Don't we want someone to have the power to pull the emergency brake? It may not be someone we like personally, but someone should have that power, and that's what the Congress of the United States has decided in enacting a statute saying that on national security matters, on who comes into the United States from overseas, that person has to be the president.
Let me have you switch hats briefly from the legal to the policy here. Given all of the legal wrangling over this, there hasn't been as much discussion about whether this, especially the revised version, will have great effect, particularly since it's temporary. What's your sense?
Well, again, I think once the president is upheld on this issue, he can issue whatever proclamations he wants and be very specific about who should be excluded from the United States. So I think it's a mistake to get wrapped up in the duration of the executive order. The only important question is whether the power has. President has the power to issue an executive order excluding people from the United States, and whether, as the lower court said, oh, wait a minute, the First Amendment and the Constitution have something to say in this, too. I don't think that's actually the case, and the notion that people outside the United States who are not citizens have some rights that they can assert under our Constitution is, I think, an erroneous claim, and those issues will all be decided when the High Court rules on the merits.
And just to follow up, there's no right to come to the United States, correct?
Yes, that's I think so. You know, I'm not aware of any such right, and it would be startling if people outside the United States had some constitutional right to either come to the United States or, frankly, whether they could assert any constitutional rights while as non-citizens outside the United States. You know, we think the United States is an exceptional country, but our Constitution is not so great that it governs people all over the world who are not citizens. So I think, you know, people need to be aware of the limitations of the United States Constitution.
Professor, always great to have you and hear your insights on these critical questions. Thanks very much for your time today.
Anytime, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Professor Jan C. Ting served as Assistant Director of the Immigration and Naturalization Service at the Justice Department during the George H.W. Bush administration. He's now a professor at the Temple University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.